بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه، وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أسأل الله عز وجل أن يتقبل منا طاعتنا وأن يجعلها في سجل حسناتنا يوم الدين، يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. اللهم آمين. Inshallah, this will be before the last session. Next Tuesday will be our last session in Mustalah or Usul al-Hadith. So today we are going to share with you, inshallah, about the brief about what we did last week about the Sahih. Then we'll deal with al-Hasan and al-Da'if. Al-Hadith al-Hasan and the hadith al-da'if. Then will be, inshallah, some other derived departments from al-da'if. We'll deal with it a little bit. And then, inshallah, next week will be the biographies. Biographies of the ulama al-hadith, men and women. The men of the narrators of the hadith among the sahaba, al-kiram, رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. And then will be the Sahaba, the woman who narrated the hadith to, will share with you. Will be biographies only next, inshallah, Tuesday. And will be our last, because after that we have got rest, inshallah. I'm traveling to Africa in May, April 21st. We'll come back, inshallah, bi'idhnillah, May 10. The State Department in Washington DC, they have news, by the way, to let you know what's going on. They have news that the Muslims are beaten day and night in America, mistreated in America, and very bad reputation for the government in about the Muslims' treatment in America. So this last year, they have a special department. They created a special department that, because these people, they care about their reputation and cost a lot of money. And they do all the reservations and all the preparation. I'm just telling you, well, the brother preparing the connection, inshallah. So we'll keep in touch too and let you know that why we're going to stop. No, we're not going to stop because something else, because I will not be here. And alhamdulillah, that it happened last year that قدر المولى وما شاء فعل سبحانه وتعالى. I didn't run behind it. I didn't ask for it. But somebody called and he said we needed to be among the delegation to go to three countries in Europe. We went last year to Norway, Belgium after that, and then Ireland, three countries, to meet with different Muslims and non-Muslims, politicians, organization leaders, and city activists, and you name it, media and all this, to talk about what we do here in America. So being a Muslim, Imam, last 27 years in this area, and used to have radio program and involved with the police department. I volunteered there, and interfaith, and then a human relations commissioner in the city of Fort Worth. So they were looking for somebody like this, may look like, to talk about what we have and what we are doing in America, to tell the people outside. That's all what we did. Not to be agent, not to be employed by the government, just to be in this department temporarily for 2 weeks. This year they are going to send us 20 days. So that's what we'll leave on April 20th, actually we'll leave, and then come back, inshallah, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, on May 10, to go to West Africa, to Niamey, capital of Niger. I never heard about this before. And then to go to Cotonou, capital of Benin, West Africa, and so on. So this will miss you, maybe that next. Oh, it will be time also that we get rest from this subject, inshallah, and then we'll deal with the asul al-fiqh and fiqh issues and rules and regulations. Then we'll go over the fiqh masail, inshallah, after the asul. That will be very wide, and so we'll continue on that, inshallah, maybe another 3 months or 4 months, wallahu alam, if we're still alive. We're done, inshallah. So we are still in the atmosphere of usul al-hadith or mustalah al-hadith, science of hadith, or the methodology of hadith science. And then, inshallah, we'll go over the brief, what we discussed last time, we dealt with the hadith al-sahih only. And we mentioned that the early scholars of hadith from the first two centuries generally classified hadith into two categories only. Sahih or da'if. So al-Hasan was not there yet. Imam al-Tirmidhi was the one, the first one, to distinguish and to establish the category of al-Hasan from da'if. Then we define al-hadith al-sahih for those brothers, you know, that to be aware of again, that al-hadith al-musnad الذي يتصل إسناده بنقل العدل الضابط عن العدل الضابط حتى ينتهي إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أو إلى منتهاه من صحابي أو من دونه أو من دونه ولا يكون شاذا ولا معللا. الحديث الصحيح لا يكون شاذا ولا معللا. Which meaning that really means that the hadith which has a continuous isnad, connected isnad, there's no cut in between, and made up of trustworthy narrators, from trustworthy narrators, so narrating trustworthy person from another trustworthy person, which is found to be free from irregularities and or any defects. That's called shudud nur illah. And we explained these headlines in details. Today we are going to talk about the classifications, part 2. So this hadith, sahih and whatever in details we discussed last week, it was that part 1, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, and today we'll deal with al-hadith al-hasan. So we have the three branches, sahih, da'if, then al-Tirmidhi, he established the third department, al-Hasan. What is al-Hasan? Literally, linguistically, means beautiful. Something Hasan, Shay'un Hasan, Manzarun Hasan, beautiful view. You see, Masjidun Hasan. So beautiful Masjid. Also that means fair or good. However, according to the science of hadith evaluation, it refers to a hadith that is graded between sahih and da'if. And that's what it said, the two branches, the extreme ends, right and left, sahih and da'if, in the middle, al-hasan, which is between the two. Imam Tirmidhi, who was the first to use the term hasan, consistently, in a technical way, defined it as a hadith that does not have in its chain a narrator, rawi, suspected of lying, nor does it conflict with superior text. There's no another hadith that contradicting it. And it is transmitted via more than one chain of similar strength. So still the strength of the hadith is there in the sanad from the people they're talking about. And this definition is quite general and could include the hadith sahih لغيره. We didn't go in details actually in the hadith, we'll talk about the hadith sahih, but there is hadith sahih لذاته وصحيح لغيره. So this here, in this definition, that could include the hadith sahih لغيره, or due to external corroboration, that's another influences from outside of the hadith. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, who's really have many books including Sharh al-Bukhari, Fath al-Bari, لشرح صحيح البخاري لابن حجر العسقلاني. This scholar, great scholar, on the other hand, gave the most accurate definition of the hadith Hassan as هو ما اتصل سنده. So still we have اتصال سند, and that's what the many scholars they consider also the level of صحيح. ما اتصل سنده, the سند we talk about, and that's what the science of hadith is about. It's not about what the Prophet said. About first the sanad, the chain, the narrators. Then, as we said, the three different departments: al-sanad, al-matn, the text, and then who related it, this hadith, in what books and the scholars. So huwa mattasala sanadu. So sanad is mattasil, connected. Binakli adlin khafif al-dabt. So the one who narrating is not strong enough like the sahih. That's what makes him less than the Sahih. And we talk about the persons. If you remember, we talk about how to define the person, the narrator, the Rawi, is strong or weak, because his character, his living, his knowledge, his teachers, his mashayikh, and so on. So, بنقل عدل, he's عدل, he's just, he's trustworthy, but خفيف الضغط, it's mean the memory have some problems in not strong memory that he has. وسلم من الشذوذ العلة, the same like the صحيح, no شذ, لا, لا يكون شاذا ولا علة فيه. The same thing here, no شذوذ, no علة. One transmitted by upstanding narrators in a continuous chain of narration, free from any hidden defects. The same with the Sahih. The Sahih, Hadith Sahih, have to be free from any defects, hidden defects or clear defects, or conflict with superior text. When you talk about superior text, means another Hadith stronger than the Hadith, this Hadith. And that's what this Hadith Sahih and this Hadith Hasan level or rank. So should not contradict also the text of the previous Hadith. If the memory of a narrator was only considered fair, saduq, that is, he was known to make a few mistakes. That's what that means, you know, khafif al-dabt. What khafif al-dabt means? His memory, he make mistakes, but not too much. Still trustworthy, still the sound connected. I mean, he met all this connected. But his memory, one of them is mean really not strong enough. We drop him from the Sahih rank to Hasan. Because the connection of the Sanad, because the trustworthiness, because the Adala, and also because no shuzuz, no illa, no defects. The Hadith is lowered from the level of Sahih to the level of Hasan. In the early days, some scholars like Ibn Khuzaymah, one of the Bukhari's teachers, made no distinction between the Hadith Sahih and Hadith Hasan. So you can see some scholars, and this I wanted to be aware of it, because we are coming to another point, very common question that was being raised here too in the first or the second lesson we did here, and I'll tell you what that. So to be aware of, please aware of these names when we talk about. There is no, first of all, there is no cut, crystal clear, explicit cut in some definitions. This scholar defining this way, the other scholar defining this the other way. So when it comes to the istidlal, that to discover rules and regulations, based on his opinion, he said that. Based on another opinion, he said another way. So if somebody comes to you with that way, without knowing who said it sometimes, and he thinks that this is what Islam said about, that's wrong. And unfortunately, that happens, that to jump over another brothers that we took the other side opinion, and he said, you are having bid'ah, or there is not right or something. We have to learn the attitude of ikhtilaf, adab and ikhtilaf. When you come to this issue of science of hadith and methodology of analyzing the hadith, we have to be very careful how to judge. So when you read a book, please be aware of the author's methodology of thinking or fiqh based on the hadith when you decide issue, mas'ala in the fiqh, in ibadat, in tahara, in najasa, in salah, in siyam, in zakah, in hajj, or in other issues, mu'amalat. Based on what he was talking about? Based on hadith. But that hadith ranking may be not the same, he ranked it in a way that the other one put in the same level. Imam Bukhari, he put a hadith. Imam Tirmidhi, he put a hadith. Imam Bukhari, he didn't take it. But to Imam Tirmidhi, is accepted hadith. So we can see in the books of collection of hadith to see. And it's easy to find today. At that time, maybe difficult. But now today, it's very easy to find, as we call it, takhrij al-hadith. That to say, brother, wallahi, I have hadith, I would like to know this hadith sahih or not sahih. Can you tell me about? اطلبوا العلم من المهدي إلى اللعد. Seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. If this hadith sahih or not, please can you find out? And we said this before, we put it back on the table of investigation, the lab of science of hadith, analyzing the sanad, analyzing the text, and we'll go ahead and see what the result of that. Now, it's available. You don't have to work too much. Because every time coming, you know, more technology, more advanced, alhamdulillah, getting better for our benefits while we live in this country too. So Ibn Khuzaymah, he made no distinction between the hadith sahih and hadith hasan. Be aware of that. When we say sahih Ibn Khuzaymah, akhrajahu Ibn Khuzaymah fi sahihihi. Be aware of this. When you hear it from a lecturer, from a khatib, Jum'ah, from Ibn Khuzaymah, and you say to yourself, maybe, why Imam, he didn't say that Imam Bukhari put in his sahih. So to be aware of the methodology of analyzing the ahadith. Great scholar, Ibn Khuzaymah. Great scholar, great muhaddith, great collector of hadith. But his methodology differed than the others. So he said, there's no difference between sahih and hasan. So it doesn't have three branches. He have only two, sahih and da'if. That's it. Ibn Hibban, very well known too. Sahih Ibn Hibban. وَذَكَرَهُ Ibn Hibban فِي صَحِيحِهِ رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهُ. May Allah bless their soul, all of them. Also that, you know, follow this practice too, the same way, that no difference between. So terminology we have, when hadith scholars use the phrase صحيح الإسناد, he doesn't have to say مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. Sometimes say مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. Sometimes صحيح الإسناد, إسناد صحيح. So all the terminologies refer to the same, that it's been authentic chain of narration to describe a hadith. They are making a subtle, little, you know, thin maybe to say an indication that it is below the category of hadith صحيح. On the other hand, if they use the phrase حسن الإسناد, a sound chain of narration, it means that the hadith is ضعيف. So you have to be aware of, in general, terminologies that being used when you read the books of the Sanad or Ilm al-Rijal or Takhrij al-Ahadith books. The reason for such classification is that a chain may be sahih or hasan with respect to the first three conditions. Al-Adala, Ittisal al-Sanad, Al-Dabt. These are three very important conditions for any hadith. Al-Adala, the integrity, the trustworthiness of the person who narrated the hadith. Now, and the second is the connection of the sanad of the hadith, the connection of the narrators, the chain who transmitting the hadith. Also, ad-dabt, that the accuracy. Dabt means that in memory, dabt in place, incidents, dates, days, and so on. You remember that the Arab, one of the high quality of the Arab at that time, in Quraysh, in Mecca, and around, the memory. You know, sometimes, you know, that something happened, one of them will make a poem that we studied in the high school for a whole year. But to them, like this, we make poem, many lines we studied for years. And we say, Kitab al-Adab al-Arabi. Become a whole book like this. To this, like Aisha radiallahu anha, when her father was sick, radiallahu anha, Bakr al-Siddiq, radiallahu anha, he got sick, she made a poem. To her is nothing. To them is nothing. This is how the quality is used at that time. And that's one of the, this is one of the privileges that to remember, when somebody will say something, even Suq Uqas, very well known, market, that the people, they used to come, you know, and stand up there, and everybody present his own quality in poems and quality in, you see, then somebody will say, the other remembered immediately, memorized. One of the statements says, Imam Shafi'i used to open the book pages and then done here, it's become here, copied immediately. Subhanallah. To us today, we read it and we read it and read it and read it, still not memorized. So you can see that the time gone, how different. Then, you know, Allahumma salli Muhammad, that yet it may contain hidden defects or contradict superior texts, and that's what goes down less than the sahih. What about the ruling of the Hadith al-Hasan now? The Hadith al-Hasan is valid for establishing Islamic rulings. It means hukm, ahkam, to derive from this ahadith rulings, to follow or not to follow, to do or not to do. That should not be rejected unless abrogated or superseded by a hadith sahih. It's been another hadith sahih that goes against it or different than we go to the other one. And that's what we say when somebody tells you something, this is la yajuz, is not allowed, yahi, prohibited. Or is not right to do it. Based on what? Based on evidence. This evidence maybe is not sahih. There's another evidence, it's been okay to do it, no problem. For example, let me tell you this. When you open the book of Riyad al-Saliheen, very well-known book, every Muslim knows this book. And actually every Muslim should have this book, written by Imam al-Nawawi. One of the hadith and the chapter dealing with drinking while standing. Sometimes I wonder why the brothers jump, sit down immediately, like, absolutely there is something to be aware of. Drinking while standing or drink while sitting? Can I drink water while I'm standing? I'm standing now. I will stand. And this is Riyad al-Saliheen, an example I'm talking about. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The sunnah to drink 3 times, yes. Alhamdulillah. I drink while I'm standing. Or? What's the point? We have to understand when we say something about our religion, to say the Prophet said or the Prophet did. And that's what the purpose behind. If you have the knowledge of this, you have a lot of knowledge. So you can rule yourself before anybody else, then you can speak about it. In the same book, written by the same author, Riyad al-Saliheen, Imam al-Nawawi, one page talking about don't drink while you're standing, open the other page next to it, the same chapter that the Prophet did, he drank while he's standing. Is that any contradiction here? No. And somebody will say, brother, don't drink while he's standing. This is against the Sunnah. It's not against, not right to do it. Based on what? He's right in his statement. That ذَلِكَ مَبْلَغُهُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. That's what he has the knowledge about. But is it right in rulings? No. So we ask him that if you dig behind a little bit more to see the hadith is Hasan, when you have hadith Hasan and then you have hadith Sahih, authentic, sound. Which one in ruling to go with? The Sahih supersede and overrule the Hasan, no doubt about it. And that's what the point you have to in many masail. Look at the ranking of the hadith, please. When you have an issue, look at the hadith al-sahih, hadith al-hasan, muttafaqun alayh. Muttafaqun alayh, this is the strongest. So if you have hadith muttafaqun alayh, that the Prophet drank the water while he's standing, and hadith al-hasan said not to drink while he's standing, so which one now to talk? You see how? It's clear. You don't need to be scholar for that. But you have the background, just knowing these basics, you'll be able to judge many issues. That's what the purpose behind. To be aware of things that sometimes we judge others or judge ourselves, put ourselves in hardship. Well, Islam said, don't push yourself too hard, because it's acceptable. You see? Now, the both represent valid instructions authentically transmitted from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who must be obeyed when he instructs and whose recommendations are better taken when he advises, alayhi salatu wasalam. We finish with the hadith al-hasan. Now hadith al-da'if. Literally means da'if means weak. When I say ana da'if, it means I'm weak. Literally, linguistically, in the Arabic language, da'if means weak. Well, technically, in the sense of hadith, refers to a narration below the standard of al-hasan. So you can see al-sahih, the highest, then al-hasan, then you go down al-da'if. This is a hadith in which any one or more of the five conditions of Sihhatul Hadith, if you remember, we discussed the five conditions of Sihhatul Hadith, three of them already in the previous slide, we show that Al-Adala wa Dabt have not been met. The grades of Da'if, the weakness of the hadith will vary according. We have many departments under the title of Al-Hadith Al-Da'if. Many departments. Some of the ulama, they said 40 chapters. Da'if is not only one chapter, one department, one area or one criteria. Many. Some of them, they get 40. Some of them, 17. It depends. Just I brought you today some brief, not all of them. We didn't have time for all of them, really. Just to give a sample of it. And then you go and dig behind, inshallah, by yourself. The weakness of hadith will vary according to the severity of the weakness due to breaks in whether the chain or the narrators. Why we say hadith da'if? Because the chain, the narrators, characters, personality, trustworthiness, and as we go back to the conditions that we mentioned before, there's something dropped in between. As we said, the point is, did I meet with him when I said, I'm narrating from him? Did I see him? Did I hear from him directly? Or I'm narrating from him through somebody else? That makes a lot of difference in the science of hadith. I heard from Ahmad, an Ahmad, an Mahmud. When I say an Mahmud, immediately I dropped somebody already. I didn't see Mahmud. So, how to say from Mahmud? By ignoring the name, that will drop the ranking of the hadith immediately. Based on now, the other chain and other names and different directions. And as you said in the first session, we told you about maybe one hadith will be considered in the sense on the scholars of the hadith mind that two hadith or three hadith based on what? Based on the different ways of narrating the same text. This is the table, have one text. But narrated from this way, it means we have line of names, narrated the same text. So this will be that we have four, so this is considered four hadith. We'll talk about the same text, just to be aware of. Okay? As to the weakest chain, it would be the fabricated narrations. This fabricated, walayyadu billah, you know, to fabricate something against the Prophet said. Whether, you know, that to say intentionally or not intentionally. Intentionally, it means unbelievable. You know, when Umar ibn Khattab one day, radiallahu anhu, he asked Abu Hurairah not to narrate a hadith from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, because you narrate a lot of a hadith. Then Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reminded him that sahibi, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, told me, man kadhaba alayya muta'ammidan falyatabawwa maq'adahu min an-nar. Who lies against me intentionally? Who said the Prophet said? And if I said the Prophet said, walayyadu billah, and I know that the Prophet didn't say that. Let such a person to reserve his seat in hell from today. To lie against the Prophet, you know, that's a great sin. And that's what they have to be aware of. Not to lie against. So when we have hadith, you know, that to be aware of when you narrate the hadith. I want to narrate what the Prophet said, not from my own wordings. Because the wisdom and the wahi and all this connected. Subhanallah. So, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. The majority permitted its application for da'if for meritorious deeds. That's fada'il al-a'mal. Some scholars, now we have hadith da'if. Can we narrate the hadith da'if or not? Number one, absolutely, we discourage the people to say and narrate hadith da'if if they know this hadith da'if. Because we have many hadith sahiha and hasana is that can replace the da'if and can be narrated to the people and people can benefit from it. But some scholars, they said, yes, we can narrate the da'if in only department of narrating in that area of encouraging the people to do good deeds, but not rulings, not ahkam, not masa'il. You see how? No judgment, no rulings in any issue. But to narrate, what the merit to come to the masjid, even hadith da'if, it's good to narrate it according to this group of scholars, that to narrate the hadith to encourage the people to come to the masjid. There's no ruling to say, if you don't come to the masjid, you go to hell. No, there's nothing like that. So we cannot come to that conclusion. All other things, if you do this, God will give you reward. If you do this, but some, they said, no, absolutely not. That's what come to say. So not fulfilling the theology of legal rulings. When it comes to halal and haram, there's nothing that we cannot use hadith da'if to rule in halal and haram issue. No way. Because the conditions is not applied that to be hadith accepted. The three conditions we have. The hadith must be excessively weak, containing liars or fabricators, that to be labeled da'if. It must be acknowledged as reliable evidence, and one does not suppose that by its application its strength is established. In a way, that means there's no strength at all in the narrations of the narrators of the hadith in the sanad. Ruling about da'if narration now continued. Abu Sufyan al-Thawri and Ahmad bin Hanbal, they used weak narrations. So in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, some hadith is da'if. If you look and read the book of Musnad Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah, there is or Sufyan al-Thawri. Actually, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, he preferred the da'if over the qiyas. As you know, remember we told you in the first session, if you have any mas'ala or any problem or any issues challenging you living in this society, wherever you are, first what Allah said. That's what you have to look at. What the Quran said about such an issue. Credit card, mortgages, or you name it, issues that we're facing here, we don't see it back home maybe. Or wherever you are. Any issue, I'm confused, I don't know what to do, how to look for a solution for this from Islamic point of view. First, what Quran said? That's the question you ask if somebody you don't know, ask somebody who knows. Do you have anything in the Quran Allah said about it, this and this? One brother I asked with his wife last week, am I allowed to give my daughter to non-Muslim in marriage? You see, this question. Because our girls in this society, they are, you know, looking for marriage. So, issue. No, absolutely not. This is crystal clear. Why was it? Did Allah say something? Yes. They're not allowed to each other. لَهُمْ يَحَلُّونَ لَهُمْ وَلَهُمْ يَحَلُّونَ لَهُمْ خَلَصْ انتهى. This explicitly, دليل قطعي. In the Quran says no. خَلَصْ. لَا اجْتِهَاد مَعْ نَصْ. There's no اجْتِهَاد when you have the text. Then the Prophet will come the Sunnah to explain more and more. So did Allah say, if there is nothing in the Quran, clear, like in the Quran says, Allah prohibited, for example, alcohol, drinking alcohol. Okay, but it didn't say hashish, heroin, cocaine, cracks, and it's prohibited in the Quran. So how we say this is prohibited? So we come to the next. Did the Sunnah said something explicitly about it? In order, brain programmed in order. Quran, what Allah said, what the Prophet said, then what the Sahaba agreed upon. Does the Sahaba say anything about it? And one Sahabi opinion will become more important and will be taken and considered and accepted than to be any madhab after any tabi'i or any successor after that or any scholar after that. One opinion of Sahabi. Because the Sahabi is his adl. The conditions apply to the Sahabi. No doubt about it. We don't question the Sahabi. So if you have one Sahabi said, and then other opinion, we'll say with the Sahabi first. If there is no other Sahaba now, we'll go to the Qiyas, comparison, to bring the text and compare to it whatever new issues we have. And this would make it Sharia and Islam living religion in every time, in every age and every generation. Why? Because it's flexible. See? Quran prohibits al-khamr. What al-khamr definition? ما الخمر؟ الخمر ما خمر العقل وأذهب به. What is the essence of alcohol? What the result of drinking alcohol? What will happen? When drinking wine, drinking beer, drinking intoxication, become drunk. So no focus anymore. You know, khamr, nal khimar, you know the ladies, when say khimar, it means that's making like hijab in between people to see the hair and the face. And that khimar, khamr, has been also that to have a gap in between the reality and he feel high somewhere else. It's not here anymore. That's what the police, they check. Walking steps and see drunk or not drunk. You see, huh? So what is anti-intoxication? So anything lead to that situation would take the rules of the khamr itself, which is the origin in the Quran. So when you drink beer, when you drink smoke, whatever, lead to that, we'll take the same rulings. And that's what the tahrim scheme. Based on what? Qiyas. Comparison. You have the origin text, general, derived from it, this ruling, based on the comparison. Comparing what the origin? That the reason of the tahrim is the intoxication. So intoxication, that will be any person that become drunk or lose his brain or focus on that thing, that will be the same ruling taken, whatever the name is now. Doesn't matter the names. The point is the result. You see how that look like? Subhanallah. That's what qiyas. A question may arise, what causes the rejection of da'if hadith? Factors which cause a hadith to be rejected all fall under two main headings. Number one, a break. Number two, a defect. A break in the chain of narration, and then a defect in the narrator himself. So the hadith scholars have derived or invented names, and according to the place where the break occurs or the number of narrators deleted. From names deleted in the middle of the chain. And that brings us to different type of a hadith. Hadith mu'allaq, hadith mursal. For example, this hadith, من لم تنهه صلاته عن الفحشاء والمنكر فلا صلاة له. Whosoever that his salah will not deprive him from doing fahsha and evil, okay, that there is no salah for him. The meaning is right, but the text is not sahih. Hadith al-Mursal. Why? Because the chain, we'll come to that Mursal a little bit later on, there's something dropped from the chain. Mu'allaq. Imam Bukhari have many hadith mu'allaq. But what mu'allaq is accepted, what mu'allaq is rejected. And this one of the issue, very important issue, as I told you in the beginning of the session, about music. Is music halal in Islam or haram? We'll come to that. Then we have another type of hadith, munqati', mu'dal, dallas, look like Dallas, you know, mawdu', matruk al-hadith, munkar al-hadith. We have many other departments, but just brought you a sample of example of this, just to explain a little bit of these points. Hadith mu'allaq. Mu'allaq literally means hanging. From allaqa, to suspend, to hang, is used because only the upper part of the chain remains, giving it an appearance of dangling. Technically it means huwa, hadith mu'allaq, huwa ma hudhifa, and I want you to be aware of this because Bukhari, because the issue of this music is hadith mu'allaq. The hadith of music prohibition, hadith mu'allaq in al-Bukhari. الإمام for example الظاهري ابن حزم الظاهري الأندلسي in his book المحلى فقه book المحلى, you can go to the library and you have the book here, المحلى for example, he didn't accept the ruling of music is haram because the hadith is معلق. You see, huh? That's what I want to tell. I told you in the beginning to come to this point now. Because immediately we jump to haram. We jump to haram, haram, haram. What we said, the circle of haram is very small. We made it very big. The circle of haram is bigger. We made it smaller than the haram is bigger. Because we think that to become more righteous. Like and some people, they were outside of the taqwa of Allah, they are outside of the straight path, and they came to America, they got lost, Alhamdulillah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them to come to the masjid and become more Muslim, better Muslim before than before. So they need, like, somebody want to beat them day and night to feel that he's now taking the kafara and expiating the, you know, well, Allah is ghafoor al-raheem. You don't have to be beaten, you know, to feel that. So he will say, haram, haram, haram. Become, start to come to the masjid 5 times, start to make, become mufti. Ya akhi, subhanAllah, take it easy on yourself first and then take it easy on the Muslims. You see how? Or belong to a jama'ah, mu'ayyana, specific group, then brainwash in a way, specific way, like one time it happened. A brother came to the masjid and he said, brother, is that true that I have to have a beer before I pray? I said, ya akhi, I never saw you here before, you know. That he said, I never prayed, and I came to America, I was a student, really I forgot, I went different way. Sirat al-Dalala wa Sirat al-Mustaqim. And then alhamdulillah, Allah guided me to come to the masjid. But the brothers, I said, it is important, yes, but you don't know how to, do you know how to make salah? No. So do you know how to make wudu? No, I forgot. I used to back home, you know, I used to. I said, forget about the beer now. So some brother, another brother said, oh, al-imam now, he misguided the man. You see how the judgment came? I said, brother, let me come, please, let's sit down and talk about it. Let's put the knowledge on the table. How many ayah in the Quran talking about having beer? He said, I don't know, I'm not mahafiz Quran. I said, okay, let me tell you. There is no single ayah telling in the Quran that to have a beer. Okay, how many ayah in the Quran there is about salah? Mention about salah, wa aqimu salah. So I think some, I said many, not some, many. So which one the priority now? Number one. Number two, how many ayah in the wudu? I said we have one ayah in wudu, but we have a different ayah on tahara too. So wudu, specific wudu, how to make wudu, that's, we have one ayah in the Quran. So there is ayah in the Quran, there are many ayat about salah, ayah in the Quran about wudu, but there is nothing about, so which one priority now? You see how the priority is? The some not priority will put in priority, and the priority will put in the end. That's the problem. Something not haram, haram, will make it haram. To please ourselves, or want to, you know, somebody doesn't like to eat, what's called the, Allahumma salli Muhammad, shrimp. Some people, I heard that, I was really shocked. Some people, they say, I don't eat shrimp. Do you claim that's haram? I think so. I said, you cannot say, I think so, haram. There's nothing to say, I think so, and to be haram. You have to be clear when you say haram. It was different that I don't like it, or it is prohibited. Because when you say it's haram, anything about it's haram, brothers and sisters, please be aware of this word. Because you are signing on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you say haram, it means you are claiming that Allah said it's haram. Well, it's not true. Allah didn't give you the authority to prohibit something. Or make it halal, Allah did not allow you to speak on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that to make it halal permitted. So you have to be aware, those great scholars, Abu Hanifa, Shafi'i, and Ahmad Muhammad, Imam Malik, they used to be scared from the arena of coming to haram and halal. And who are we not to be scared from? And that's what the problem within the Muslim community today we have, living in this society. To be aware. So when it comes to the hadith, you have to be aware of the hadith. I mean, here, مُعَلَّقْ مَا حُذِفَ مِنْ مَبْدَعِ إِسْنَادِهِ وَاحَدْ فَأَكْثَرْ عَلَى التَّوَالِي. It's been from and from. He said, on Ahmad, on Mahmud, when we have already, we have Ali and we have Abu Bakr in between. He dropped one or two or more. That's mu'allaq. Okay? Examples. Al-Fakhid Awra. You see? The thigh, like somebody will say, brother, can I wear a short? I'm on my yard, backyard, you know, and the front yard, you know, mowing the grass. Can I wear my short? What do you think? Just, you know, communicate a little bit and get rest. And what do you think? This issue. You go to the lake, you take your family sometimes, yourself, you know. And can I wear a short or not? Hear the hadith and tells you what does it mean. You have to differentiate between wearing short in the salah or wearing short after the salah. To be aware of. To wear this short to pray duhur, fajr, duhur, asr, maghrib, aisha. Above the knees. We talk about to show the fakhd, you know, that's what the fakhd is here. This area here. To wear short like this. I'm not talking about short under the knees. This is not the area to draw. Talk about to show something from the knee up here. Because what is the awrah for the man? When you pray, any prayer. What is your awrah? From the surah, from the belly button here, to the knee. If you cover this, basically, that now will be this mandatory one. Adab, that to cover your shoulder, to adab. But must? No. This is must. And not to uncover it during the salah. Some people they show a little bit and they come to a little bit. And, but during the ruku' and sujood and tashahud, you see that little bit up. The salah is gone. You have to repeat the salah. Because shart sahat al-salah, you know, tahtit al-awrah. So this awra. Now, I'm not in the salah. And I want to wear the short like this. And to, if I'm wear as imam, you say, oh, imam, now he's dal, no doubt about it. No way that imam, even I want to do it, I cannot do it because the imam had to be in a specific area, specific. If you give khutbah jum'ah in suit and tie, oh, the imam is dal, khalas, become American imam. He's not the typical imam. What the typical imam? That's when I came in 1982, you know, I was a little thinner, sportsman, to a suit and tie and Samsonite. The community in Fort Worth, they said, what? They thought, I'm coming to prepare the floor for the imam coming after me. So give him a call, imam, we are ready, they are ready, let's come. And he will come fat, have a stick, long beard, dirty clothes or something. I said, this is totally different image. You know, I said, I'm the imam, yes, I'm coming to you. What? You know, so shocking. So now the guy was short. What's going on here? The imam laughing, the imam making jokes, the imam. Now, if the prophet did that, so what's the problem? You see, huh? The point is, the hadith we have here, we have another hadith that the prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, uncover his thighs in different occasions, and no way that the Prophet alayhi salam to do it, because he's ma'soom, he's protected from any wrong doing. But by doing it and being narrated in the authentic hadith, that means there is something ruling it different. The incident that, for example, like we have here different narrations. Ibn Abbas, Anas ibn Malik, you know, Jarhad. And that's what it says. Ahwat Asnad. Because it's confusing. No, there's no confusion. No confusion. The ruling is, there's nothing to say prohibited to uncover the thighs. Preferably not. Be aware of the rulings. Preferably not. We say, حتى يخرج من خلاف الأحوط. Precautionally, more safely to be that to not to uncover. But to say haram and halal, there's nothing about haram. The Prophet did it when he was sitting in his house, alayhi salatu wasalam. Then he was uncovering the thighs. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu knocked the door. The Prophet alayhi salam, he kept himself in the same position. Nothing changed. Then Umar knocked the door. And the Prophet alayhi salam permitted him to get in and stayed at the same position. Then Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu knocked the door. Then the Prophet, you know, covered himself and Aisha radiallahu anha, she realized that. That she's narrated the hadith. And after the majlis done and finished, she said, I realize you that Abu Bakr came and you stayed, and Umar came and you stayed, but when Uthman came, you covered yourself. What's going on? Why? Then the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, أَلَا أَسْتَحِي مِمَّنْ تَسْتَحِي مِنْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ أَلَا أَسْتَحِي مِمَّنْ تَسْتَحِي مِنْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Why not to feel shy from the one who the malaika feel shy from him? So this is a privilege, and praising Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhum ajma'in. It's a matter of praising. And the Prophet ﷺ, he's ma'soom. And whatever he said, whatever he did, whatever he approved, will be sunnah. So know that to do mistake. And مَا لَا يَتِمُّ الْوَاجِبُ الْنَبِيهِ فَوَاجِبُ. It was wajib al-bayan at that time. So if it's not clearly said that if it's haram, absolutely you will not show to Abu Bakr or Umar or anybody. Will not show it. By being on the camel or the horse, then to uncover it and to be narrated in Sahih Hadith, what's going on here? You see, and that's what the ulama elaborated now. And this was the hadith on the table for investigation. How to derive the rulings from these ahadith, different evidences we have. So in the salah, absolutely have to cover. But after salah, preferably to cover, but not haram to uncover the thighs. Be aware of that. So if you are swimming in Lake of Arlington, or swimming in lake, whatever, the lake, and okay, and then you come to salah, you have to make sure that you are covered. But they have also dress code, how far you can go with that. But I'm talking about less than the knee. This is the issue. So we have a hadith here. Al-Fakhid Awra. What is the ranking of the hadith? This is the question you have to raise all the time. What is the ranking of the hadith? When somebody will tell you, the Prophet said, okay, Jazakallah khair. Thank you very much. But what is the ranking of the hadith? Is it hadith da'if, hadith hasan, hadith sahih? What? Very, very important. For yourself, you don't need mufti to tell you. Just ask for dalil. Make it your own methodology of in any fiqh issues, any that give me the dalil. Can I get the dalil? Not to challenge. Please be aware of that attitude too. Very wrong attitude. The attitude to learn, because I'm willing any time, all the time. Like the brother one time said, why you have only one adhan? On Jum'ah, not two adhan. Other masjid have two adhan. Why have two adhan, not only one adhan? You know, we have, by the way, we have, I'm sure that he's everywhere, this parable, or mathal, or this personality, Juha. As we say, Juha, wahmaru ibnu mabimutu. You know, Juha and his donkey and his son will never die. You know the story of that, isn't right? So they have a donkey, and the father rode over the donkey and the son both. So passed by people, they start to say, wow, there is no mercy. Show the mercy to the animals. So the father kept himself and the son walking. Oh, the people start to say, oh, what kind of son rebellious against his father, disrespectful to his father? You know, I'm sorry, what kind of father not merciful? His young child walking and he's riding. So the switch, the son now riding and the father walking. What kind of son, disrespectful and bad son, not disrespectful son? So they walk next to the donkey. Oh, subhanallah. Allah created the donkey to ride it, not to walk next to it. Then they carry the donkey. Allahu Akbar. The donkey to be carried the people, not the people to carry the donkeys. They say, whatever you do, you never please the people. This is the point. You see? Whatever the name is called in that country, your country. So you say this, and I'm very sure that somebody say, Sheikh Mujahid now is unbelievable. Fasik, Zandik, whatever. Give me the evidence. I'm willing to follow the evidence when it comes to the issues of judging and verdicting, and especially when it comes to the haram issue. Very important. And you can see the chain. The music issue. لا يكونن من أمتي أقواما يستحلون الحرة والحرير والمعازف Harrud means we have al-hira, means zina. Also, there is another narration says al-khaz, refer to that gold and, you know, and silk, and that a time will come upon my ummah, that group of people will make it halal, that whether the gold upon the man is haram to make it halal, or the zina to make it halal, and the harir, the silk, to make it halal on the, for the man, or it's haram for the man to wear, and ma'azif, the musical instruments, and al-qayyinat, refer to the music subject. This is Sahih Bukhari, by the way. But this hadith mu'allaq, as I said, Ibn Hazm al-Zahiri rejected to make rulings from this hadith and to say it's haram, because this referred to is haram now. Why? Because the hadith mu'allaq. والمعلق منه ضعيف ومنه حسن ومنه صحيح. That all of it صحيح. So he took it in a way that this rulings, is he right or wrong? His ijtihad. Some people, they follow his madhab. He was born in Spain. So Madrasa al-Zahiriya, Abu Dawud al-Zahiri, Ibn Hazm al-Andalusi, in Andalus, Andalusia in Spain. That, you know, is very well known scholar. One of the madhab is not known too much because not many students carry the madhab. How the madhab become famous? When the people, they follow the madhab and carry the message. Like Abu Hanifa, for example, rahimahullah, wa radiallahu anhu, because many judges appointed in Iraq and they ruled by madhab Abu Hanifa and other part of the world. That's what millions of people, they follow his madhab today. Imam Shafi'i, the same. Millions of people, because the different atmosphere that carry the madhab, students of knowledge, scholars, rulers, and so on. The same with other madhab in Malik, North Africa, and so on. In Libya, in Egypt, start from Egypt, North Africa, Egypt, Libya, Tunisia, Morocco, Madhab Maliki. Even Malik was not there at all. Was Imam Medina. You see how? But his madhab follows mostly in these areas. Imam Shafi'i in Malaysia, and they follow Madhab Shafi'i, Palestine. And Jordan, Madhab Shafi'i. Ahmad bin Hanbal in the Gulf, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Emirat, and Madhab Ahmad bin Hanbal. So when you know this kind of map geographically, then you can see how the judgment when you hear on the satellite, Arabic satellite, or whatever the satellite, and the Sheikh saying, making fatwa, please be aware the background and based on what Madhab will help you a lot. So this is one of the disputable issues we have. In Bukhari's collection, there is a mu'allaq, a hadith in which the beginning of its chain of narration has one or more consecutive narrators deleted. Why deleted? And deletion here, Imam Bukhari, he knew the names, not unknown. Too much difference between that I drop two names that I know them. For not to make elongation of the narration chain, line, or I don't know them at all. That should make different rulings of ranking of the hadith from Sahih to Hasan to Da'if. The mu'allaq in Sahih Bukhari are many, while in Sahih Muslim are very few. Ruling on mu'allaq narrations of Bukhari and Muslim, as you said, if it is used the active voice like rawa, qala, dhakara, then will be different than to say ruwiya, qila, or dhukira. Can you imagine the dhamma, fatha, kasra, pesh, zabar, zahran, make a lot of difference in the rulings. So mu'allaq narrations in other collections are generally considered da'if, regardless of how they are mentioned by the authors, active or passive voice. And hadith al-mursal, very well known, very common hadith al-mursal. Hadith al-mursal, what hadith al-mursal? مَا سَقَطَ مِنْهُ الصَّحَابِي. Sahabi name dropped in the chain, the sanad. كَقَوْلِ نَافِعَ. For example, نَافِعَ. Who's نَافِعَ? نَافِعَ is not Sahabi. To say no, نَافَع عَنْ نَافَع قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Absolutely, there's somebody in between. Because نَافَع is تَابِعِي. It's not Sahabi. And from the Prophet directly, there's something in between that dropped. To drop the Sahabi now, the Sahabi, this dropped the hadith from Sahih to Mursal, Daif, part of the Daif. You see how? نَافَع قال نافع قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ never met with the Prophet, never lived in his time, عليه الصلاة والسلام. So how to narrate from, there's something in between here. That means this Sahabi dropped. To drop a Sahabi from the chain of the Hadith, the sanad of the Hadith, this dropped the Hadith from Sahih to be Mursal. What we have? The ruling on the Mursal Hadith, such Hadith Mursal is in a sense da'if, and thus rejected due to the loss of the condition of continuity. There's no Tisal Sanad, a lack of knowledge about the missing narrator who may have been a Sahabi or another Tabi'i, maybe. Maybe Nafi' narrated from another Tabi'i. Ana Sahabi, an Rasulullah. We don't know. Not to know, that will not be a Hadith Sahih. Are we with me in the line? Are we together? We're walking together, inshallah? That's good. Jazakallah khair. The basic ruling stands regardless of whether the chain of narrators up to the successor is authentic or not. Now, hadith al-munqati', broken hadith. هو الحديث الذي سقط من اسناده رجل أو أكثر أو ذكر فيه رجل مبهم. Drop one man or more, or man, a name mentioned, but nobody knows about this name. Mubham, unknown name. Who is this name? Where this came from? Where we're living? What is time? Nobody knows. So drop the hadith and become hadith munqati'. For example here, on Hudhayfah, we have this here. For example, that عن عبد الرزاق عن الثوري عن أبي إسحاق عن زين بن يثيع عن حذيفة رضي الله عنه مرفوعة عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن وليتموها أبو بكر فقوي أمين. If you give the خلافة to Abu Bakr, that will be قوي and أمين. But this hadith in the chain سقط من إسناد الشريك بين الثوري وبين أبي إسحاق. عن الثوري عن أبي إسحاق. الثوري never met أبو إسحاق. There is somebody in between Al-Thawri and Abi Ishaq. You see here? You can go all the way. This is Al-Thawri here. And Abi Ishaq. There is somebody in the middle here, his name is Shuraik. Shuraik is not mentioned. But not having him, how do you know that Shuraik was here? By another hadith. Another hadith. Brought Shuraik to the rest of the chain and brought it in. This one is done. So this one dropped. You see how?
One says that such a person, he met with such a scholar and he learned from him. So we know that Shuraik, he met Abu Ishaq. But Al-Thawri, he never met with Abu Ishaq. How to know this? When you go in the knowledge about who's Al-Thawri and his life and who's the surrounding and the teachers and the mashaykh and the students, you know, and he gave to. Then you see Abu Ishaq, who's Abu Ishaq and his time? Oh, this different generation. See how? Different generation. Never met with each other. So how to say in the sanad now this way? There's something in between here. Now we are bringing things, just an example, but how we came to this conclusion? By digging behind the names, list of names of Al-Thawri and his lifestyle and as a narrator and Abu Ishaq, they never met. But Shuraik, he was the liaison person between. That Al-Thawri, he met Shuraik, yes. And Al-Thawri, he heard from Shuraik, that Shuraik, he heard from Abu Ishaq, yes. So Shuraik, he met with Abu Ishaq, not Al-Thawri. You see how? That's really. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Now, the second one, also the same thing, that's referred to the mubham, it's been name mentioned unknown. You see how? For example, that Al-Ala ibn Abdullah al-Shakhir, an Rajulain, on behalf of two men, an Shaddad ibn Aws. Who are these two men? Faman huma hadan al-Rajulain. Who are these two men? We don't know. So unknown names drop the hadith from Sahih too. These examples, see how? Allahumma salli Muhammad. Al-Mu'dal, I think before the last, Al-Mu'dal, that derived from Adala, Wadad, Naddal, Adala, no, Adala, which means to be perplexed, And technically it refers to a hadith in which two or more consecutive narrators are deleted in the middle or the end of the chain. Also make a difference, by the way, to delete from the beginning of the chain or the middle or the end. Oh my God. So all what we were talking all these weeks, I mean, we're still on the shore, brothers and sisters here. We're still on the, we're not swimming yet. We are not swimming in the ocean of the science of hadith. These all introductions to the deep and deeper. Little bit, you know, we're getting our feet wet, little bit, you know. But, you know, as somebody that doesn't know how to swim, and he sit on the beach and put the sea to him, to his body, and pour himself, I'm swimming. Just to let you know, to have the value, and really, what does it mean, these great scholars? What kind of great job they did to record the hadith of Rasulullah, to keep it for ourselves today, and generation after generation. How much efforts, radiyallahu anhum, rahimahumullah, may Allah bless their souls and reward them the best, that to keep our sunnah, the sunnah of the Prophet to us, alayhi salatu wasalam. Scholars of hadith unanimously consider the mu'dal as weaker and more defective than the mursal. So even the da'if have different ranking too, less. But the da'if, as we said, ruling in da'if, not to be accepted, not to. But in some scholars, they said in fada'il al-a'mal, in good deeds, may be narrated. But to have rules, no, about da'if. If you want to go to the da'if, read the books that we have. For example, the da'if silsila, Albani, the names that you know, more familiar with. If you go back a little bit older, then you go to Al-Mawdu'at, Ibn Jawzi, Al-Mawdu'at. You have in the library here, very beautiful, you know. Last week I went inside and we have very beautiful books. Just look at it and see. Even if you don't know how maybe how to read it, just get the sense of touching and opening the books. Believe me, live in that atmosphere, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, that's it. But see it. Will be Allahumma salli Muhammad, model weaker than Mursal and the Munqata due to excessive omissions in East chain. Many names that have been taken. Mudallas. The first word mudallas comes from the verb dallasa, which literally means to hide the defects in goods from a buyer. Technically, it refers to the hiding or defect in the sanad, the chain of narrators, and the beautification of its outer appearance. It may be further subdivided into two other groups: tadlis al-sanad wa tadlis al-shuyukh. Tadlis al-sanad wa tadlis al-shuyukh. Tadlis al-sanad means هو الحديث الذي يؤديه الراوي عمن عاصره ولقيه مع أنه لم يصح سماعه منه. He will narrate, rather will narrate hadith from somebody he lived with him at the same time, but he never heard from him directly. You can see he's lying about somebody. So he heard it from somebody else, but never heard it. But he will say, Sami'atu, or heard from him. But he didn't hear from him. Okay? Then tadlis al-shuyukh huwa an yasifa rawih bi awsaf a'azam min haqiqati. To praise, glorify the narrator in different ways, more than what they deserve, or give him different nickname in order to cover his methodology or his way. As you say, حدثنا العلامة الثبت أو الحافظ الضابط. We're not talking about حافظ, حافظ القرآن here, no. حافظ الحديث. This one, when you go in deep in the sense of hadith, the titles, المحدث, الحافظ, الثبت, الضابط, these different titles that for muhaddith, al-hadith itself. The ruling regarding the mudallisin, that some hadith scholars held that narrators who practiced, there's wrong in printing here, any form of tadlis would be rejected as weak and untrustworthy. Others held that the narrations of the mudallis would be considered if openly declared that he heard the narration by using terms like sami'tu, I heard. And they would be rejected if ambiguous terms like an, to say an or sami'tu, to us maybe nothing. But to that area, sons of hadith, means a lot. Sami'tu or an. An is mean I heard directly from, or you know, maybe somebody else. narrating from somebody else. But سمعت, I heard directly. To make a lot of difference. Defects in the narrators, defects in the transmitter are a result of 10 factors. 5 of which are connected to adala, trustworthiness, and 5 to doubt or accuracy. It is not hadith at all, but a lie. First, the 5 things you have regarding the adala, the trustworthiness, are liar, accused of lying against the Prophet ﷺ. Somebody to be accused that he lied against the Prophet will be taken out. His hadith. Immoral act that he did, a behavior. And innovator in religion, he innovated, make bid'ah, practice bid'ah in the religion, innovated new things in the ibadah, are obscure. Then we come to the second point, adopt accuracy. Another 5 connected with this area. Excessive in his errors, his weak of memory, negligent to many facts, known for a lot of misinterpretation, misunderstanding, and known to contradict reliable reporters. The most serious rejected hadith due to the above mentioned defects of a narrator, this very well known department of hadith, another chapters of Da'if. Mawdu' al-hadith, hadith mawdu'. You see, as I just told you a little while ago, al-mawdu'at, plural of mawdu'. Mawdu'at, the fabricated. This is Abdul Jawzi, he have 3 volumes. Al-mawdu'at, 3 volumes. Bringing and writing in his book, all the mawdu'at, that's different chapters. Tahara, najasa, ibadah, salah, siyam, zakah, and everything. What somebody said, the Prophet said, mawdu', fabricated. Or matruk al-hadith. Or munkar al-hadith. And all of them parts of the hadith da'if. Wallahu a'lam. Allah knows the best. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Thank you for your patience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you with the best. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts and make it in our record on the day of judgment to see the reward of that بإذن الله تعالى. اللهم تقبل منا أعمالنا يا رب العالمين يا أرحم الراحمين اجعلنا في سجن حسناتنا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا معنا ولا منا شقيا ولا محروما من رحمتك يا رب العالمين. اللهم آمين. As just to confirm again, inshallah, next Tuesday we'll talk about only biographies, about names, who's Imam Bukhari, who's Imam Muslim, and the biographies, and will be our last session of science of hadith, inshallah. After that, we get rest. Jazakum Allah khair, wassalamu alaikum. Sweet dreams, inshallah. Take care of yourself.
I want to ask one question.